You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's roll. Countdown to kickoff. Countdown to first pitch. We have a busy Monday night tonight. We actually have a first place showdown this evening, as the winner of tonight's football game will be tied for first place in the AFC South. The Titans and the Colts on the board. We've got a lot of line movement in this football game. Steve Merrill will step up and in. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts, will break it down with Steve Merrill. Howard Bender in the house. As we talk some fantasy football, some DFS, some fantasy football with Howard Bender, Roto Buzz. We've got Jason Braddock stepping up and in. Deshaun Watson continues to light up the National Football League. He's got the number one QBR rating in the NFL right now. Deshaun keeps lighting it up. We'll talk about the Packer quarterback situation. McCarthy puts the Kaepernick fire out early and says that he has his guys. So in other words, if Hundley and Joe Callahan are your guys, then I guess we have a two-team race right now in the NFC North, and the Green Bay Packers aren't part of it. Do we just give the division right now to the Minnesota Vikings? Don't count on the Detroit Lions so fast, but wow, everything's been turned upside down right now in the NFC, so much so the Philadelphia Eagles are now overwhelming favorites to win the NFC. Still way too early to get into this stuff, but I'll tell you right now, the Packers are in a lot of freaking trouble. I don't know. Brett Hundley's been there 3 years, right? So we're going to break that down with Jason Braddock a little bit, with Bender as well. Fantasy impact, ramifications. You know, to me, I see people, how are you going to replace Aaron Rodgers in a fantasy world? Whatever, man. When are you taking a quarterback? What, in the fifth round? Fourth round? Quarterbacks are quarterbacks. You can pick up somebody else. I got Carson Wentz off the waiver wire the other night, all right? There's going to be quarterbacks available. It really screws people like me who have Jordy Nelson. It really screws people like me who have Devontae Adams in high cash leagues. That's who it really screws. More so, I'd rather lose actually the quarterback than have the wide receiver. You lose a quarterback, you can replace it. What am I going to do? I'm going to replace Jordy Nelson right now? I can't replace Jordy Nelson. I got to bite the bullet and hope that Hundley can get him the football. That's what this comes down to. So we'll find out if he is going to be able to get him the football, what Howard Bender has to say about that. We got Major League Baseball on the board here this evening. New York Yankees in a must-win situation. They're down 2-0, as are the Chicago Cubs. The championship series has been very entertaining. Some great baseball being played, kind of being overshadowed by the craziness of the football world. And we were standing right here on Friday. We told you that Clemson and their head coach, Dabo Sweeney, was talking about their bye week and looking forward to the bye week, as opposed to looking forward to playing Syracuse. Now Syracuse have a big feather in their cap, knocking off Clemson. Yet it's been complete chaos in college football. And Clemson are far from done right now as well. There's a lot of football left to be played. These teams are going to be dropping on a weekly basis. It's already started to happen. Washington State bites the dust. The following night, the Washington Huskies bite the dust. So this is going to continue over the next couple of weeks as we go along. So it's a great time of the year to be a sports fan. We have NHL hockey on the board, and they're tipping off the National Basketball Association tomorrow. That's pretty crazy, man. We really didn't do any season previews or anything either. I kind of let you guys down on that, but nobody really cares about season previews. You care about winners, and we'll have some winners for you starting tomorrow. And I can't wait. You know I love to bet on the National Basketball Association. You also know that I kind of love to bet on the National Football League, but there's a fine line between love and hate, isn't there? Which leads us into another edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday? Well, once again, unfortunately, we have a long list of participants in this week's edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday. So without further ado, let's start off with a team that actually won the football game but didn't cover the point spread. And let's start off with Tom Brady. What did he win? I guess he won his 187th game or something like that. Well, Lottie freaking duh. Isn't that good for you, Tom? You know what they say in Las Vegas, right? They say good teams win. Great teams cover. It's amazing to me, man. It really is amazing to me. You know, the New England Patriots last year were like 17-2 against the spread, and I lost big on the two games that they didn't cover it. It's like the Cleveland Indians. And, you know, the only thing worse than losing money on a sports bet is losing money on a sports bet on a team that you freaking hate in, like, your division that you should be enjoying watching them struggle, right? I should be enjoying watching every quarterback throw for over 300 yards because that's exactly what's happened so far. You know, it's unbelievable to me that the New England Patriots and their defense is that bad. And, you know, it looked like we were going to backdoor this thing, all right? It looked like we were going to backdoor this thing. And then I ended up getting backdoored. The New York Jets end up getting the cover, and I end up getting screwed harder than Anissa Kate does in double detention. Again, you know, the New England Patriots, I swear to God, man, they're like cops, all right? If you ever need a cop, they're not around. You step outside of a bar and light up a bong, you're a bull, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, I tell you what, Clint Eastwood's going to be there ready to nail your ass. Same thing with a taxi. If you're in a hurry, oh, I got to get to the airport, where's the taxi? There's never any taxis around. That's the New England Patriots. They'll screw you, all right? And at least the reign of terror is nearly going to be over. Like I said, I enjoy kind of watching them suck. But the thing is, they play in a crap-ass division, so they're not out of our lives yet. Like, are we sick and tired of seeing Tom Brady? Like, is Tom Brady, does he have, like, a ref pass or something like that? It's like the referees have to consult with this freaking dude before they make any call. Like, if you're not going to cover the game, you might as well lose the damn game. As I stated, I really, sincerely, I don't like using the word hate very often when we talk about sports. So I'm not going to say I hate the New England Patriots. I hate betting on the New England Patriots, and I'm never going to do it again. They can go screw themselves, and I'm going to enjoy watching them lose down the road in the playoffs because, once again, the New England Patriots ruined my Sunday. Now, you know, I would, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs didn't help my Sunday at all, and I lost pretty big on this football game. But it's hard for me to really rip a football team that's 5-0 straight up and 5-0 against the spread. All right? And I've been riding the wave with the Kansas City Chiefs. So instead of hating on the Chiefs, I actually hate the Pittsburgh Steelers even more right now. Like, if there's a team, it's amazing. I used to be able to pick a winners in Steeler games, man, fade them, on them, back and forth. I really had a good handle on this team. I got no handle on the Pittsburgh Steelers right now whatsoever. And another football team, look, are you kidding me? That's the thing with the National Football League. And I know it's a week-to-week league, man. But last week, Pittsburgh, they screw me in a survivor. I'm out $3,800. I'm the commissioner. I got to pay these freaking people now. So in other words, the Pittsburgh Steelers cost me $3,800 freaking dollars last week. Yet the following week, you're able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs because Andy Reid forgets how to coach a football. You know, but we've said it before, the coaching's at an all-time freaking low in his sorry-ass, candy-ass, and what's, I don't even know what a catch is anymore in this league. But I swear, instead of hating the Chiefs, it just burns me up to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers bounce back and win that football game. But I'll tell you what, the Steelers are playing the Bengals next week, and you know where I'm going with this? I'm taking my boy Andy Dalton so the Pittsburgh Steelers don't ruin another one of my Sundays. Like, whether they win, whether they lose, I get screwed over. You know, that's the way the National Football League is, though. It's going to screw you over. That's what the NFL is all about. Now, I said all week how I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. And why did I like the Jags so much? Well, I like the Jags so much because I thought their defense was going to confuse Jared Goff and then shut down the Rams' offense. They freaking did. They did. Jared Goff completed like 11 passes. I can't cap that the jackass is going to have a punt block for a touchdown and give up a kickoff for a touchdown. I don't know whether I should hate myself for actually trusting the Jacksonville Jaguars or hate the special teams coach for absolutely screwing me over again. Step by step, by the end of the night, it's a good thing that I lost my power, which I eventually did because I was ready to put my freaking fist through the screen. And, you know, I could sit here and rip this player and that player and everybody else. I want to rip the whole league. It's the National Football League as a whole. The National Football League is an evil bitch goddess that for some reason we return back to the brothel on a weekly basis only to get screwed over. And we're not done there. I want to ask you, how the hell is it possible? How is it possible for the New Orleans Saints to score 52 points and Michael Thomas to have three catches for 11 yards. This guy is a big-ass fantasy bust, all right? He hasn't topped 100 yards once this year. This guy's ruining my Sunday on a weekly freaking basis. Cash leagues gone. gone. He's turned into my white whale. He's my Sammy Watkins. You've ruined my Sunday over and over, Michael Thomas. So what can I do? I can't say never again. What am I supposed to do? Take you out of the lineup? I can't do it. I'm stuck with you, just like I'm stuck with Jordy Nelson. Now, we all know and we all love the National Football League. But I'll tell you, the only consistent in the NFL is your Sunday will get ruined.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabe Morenci. We are live. Howard Bender, RotoBuzz, going to join us in a couple of moments. Jason Braddock will join us from Houston, Texas. Steve Merrill bats leadoff. But before we bring Steve in, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the program. Dober.games. That's right. So Dober.games, Dober.games. There's no .com.net or anything else in between. Just Dober.games. Very, very cool fantasy format. Basically, you're not playing against other people. You're not playing in a tournament. What you're doing is you're picking fantasy matchups. So basically, there's a list of players. And what's really cool about this, you can do cross-sport matchups. So you have to pick three. So three matchups, you get paid back 6-1 for your three matchups. So you basically, all right, this quarterback will have an over-under, let's say, of 16.5 points. Will he have more or less than 16.5 fantasy points in this football game, yes or no? And then you do three matchups. But as I stated, what's really cool about this, you can take like a basketball matchup and mix it with a football. You can mix and match, which makes it a lot of fun. And what I like about it, you don't have to worry about somebody else and how they're doing. You just have to worry about your pick. So make any combination of matchups you want. Play quarterbacks. You can play all quarterbacks if you want. You know what I mean? If you like only the quarterback matchups. So it's real, real cool stuff. Receivers. You can cross-sport picks. Pick three matchups and cash in. Use promo code PUNT. That's promo code PUNT. Like I'd like to punt a lot of NFL coaches in the face. That's NFL PUNT. To enter a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. Don't be a loser, all right? Sign up. Support the sponsor, support the network, and win some money. Go over to Dober.games. Use promo code PUNT. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. What's going on, Steve?
I was wondering if they're connected to Dover Downs, which is connected to the racetrack, the NASCAR track.
Hey, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting name for a website because there is the Dover Downs is that slot, horse track casino. Yep, there, yep. You'd see in the backstretch of the racetrack.
Yeah, and you know what? The horse track industry actually wanted to get in, if you remember. Monmouth actually has some fantasy stuff. That's very interesting, whether it's part of the Dover group or not. But one of the downfalls of some of these fantasy things, yeah, it's nice. You want to win $1 million and stuff, but it's frustrating if you have a really, really good lineup and some other guy had a better lineup, which happens often in a fantasy sports world when you're playing daily fantasy. So I like this type of format that Dober Games has, Dave, in which it's just you. You pick three fantasy matchups, and you win 6-1.
Yeah, I like it as well because one of the reasons I think fantasy is not good for the average player is because of these professionals out there that literally load 30,000 lineups. And they have, especially like take Talladega race yesterday. It's the most random race of the season. And I was looking at DraftKings, and my six-man lineup would have been I would have liked Keselowski. I actually didn't have him in all of them, but he was pretty affordable, I thought. But I had Amarola, I thought was great. Newman was in all my lineups, and they were basically in the top two or three of the final lap there. I had, like, three of the top five finishers, but my other three guys, like, wrecked and finished 30th, you know? So if you can mix and match several lineups, you have a chance of hitting. But, you know, the average player doesn't do that, obviously, because they don't have 30,000 lineups they can load.
All right, so it was a crazy weekend this weekend. It started off on Friday night. I like the underdog in both the football games. I told people all week I thought Cal was going to be able to beat Washington State, and they did it rather easily. It was nice to cash a plus 500 money line ticket. Syracuse, I didn't see Syracuse winning the game outright. And all week I was like, oh, this is a tough game. I'm going to stay away. And then, you know, as the game approached, I figured it's a lot of points. And then I saw the quotes of Dabo Sweeney talking about the bye week, and it really seemed like they weren't focused on Syracuse all that much, and it just sort of had the makings of an upset. They hang around, but that was just the weekend started off with that stuff on Friday. You had the Washington Huskies go down Saturday night as 17-point favorites, and then, of course, on Sunday, I mean, we can go down the list. One upset after another. Moneyline players were absolutely killing it this week. What, Syracuse was 10-1. Plus 1,000. Cal was plus 500, plus 550. Tulsa beat Houston, plus 425. Miami Dolphins were plus 750 on the money line. The Baltimore Ravens weren't quite the monster favorites these other teams were, but they managed to lose outright. Chicago Bears win that game outright is 5.5, 6-point underdogs. I got a piece of the Chargers on the money line. And then the big one last night, the New York Giants beat the Denver Broncos. And at this point, I almost saw it coming. I'm an idiot for not grabbing the money line, but I was on the Giants last night plus the points.
Yeah, the Redskins, an 11-point favorite, only won by two. They needed the fourth quarter to break that tie against the 49ers. I don't think it's a total fluke. We saw it happen this week in college football. Mid-season, you know, teams start to get a little bit complacent. It's very difficult to bring your A game every single week, whether it's college or pros. And, yeah, you nailed it on Friday about Dabo Sweeney talking about the bye week. A lot of my friends and, you know, recreational players that said, boy, did you see that Clemson upset? I said, well, you obviously weren't listening to Game Time Decisions live at 2 o'clock Eastern on Friday because my colleague Gabe Morency called it, and we pointed that out on the show. I also pointed out in that Cal-Washington State game that, you know, last week was the bad scheduling spot, their first road game, but they took advantage of a beat-up Oregon team. And I even said maybe this is the week that Washington State comes flat. I mean, boy, did they come flat. A 16-point road favorite, they only had 3 points late in that game.
You know, when ultimately, especially in the modern college football world, Steve, it's kind of rare. I mean, in the playoffs, we rarely have four undefeated teams, right?
Right.
It's only, you know, generally one or two teams that might run the table in any given year. So it's just math. It's just reality. It's like gravity. Eventually, if something's falling, eventually it's going to hit the ground. You know, eventually. And these teams, one by one, will systematically begin to fall, especially sort of the fake fat cats. And I thought Washington State were a little bit of a fake fat cat.
Well, I think the result that really caught me by surprise, I did not have a play. I actually had two sides yesterday on the daytime card. I had Arizona and Pittsburgh, both outright underdog winners, so it worked well for me. But I thought the game that was really surprising, and I had no play in it, was the Atlanta-Miami game. You know, the final score, Miami wins by three as a 14-point dog. You think, well, maybe Atlanta came in flat off their bye week, and I think that makes a lot of sense. But Atlanta was winning 17-0 at halftime in that game, so they didn't come out flat at all. That was what was so mystifying to me about that result.
You know, and especially after how they lost the Super Bowl, I thought, you know, earlier in the year when they were up on the Packers, they were blitzing all game. They did not play a prevent defense at all. And I remember commenting at the time saying, you know, if I'm the Falcons, you know, you look at these guys, you'll probably see this a lot, considering they just cost themselves a Super Bowl by going into a prevent and not being as aggressive as they should. And then here we are. They blow a 17-0 lead. It's going to start to stick to them right now. I mean, they've got to shake this off immediately. And unfortunately for them, they've got the Patriots this week. I guess that's good news, bad news, right? Because if they go into Foxborough, they beat the Patriots, that, forget it, who cares about the Dolphins game? They just beat the team that came back against them in the Super Bowl. If they go into Foxborough and blow another lead or even lose the game, the Falcons really could run into trouble here as we go along.
Well, hey, look, historically the Super Bowl loser is a great play against team the following season.
I know.
And, you know, I talked about this back in week one. Remember I said how the Patriots looked terrible on Monday night, on that Thursday night opener? I said, well, technically they should have lost the Super Bowl, so maybe they're the play against team this year. But now it's looking like the Falcons are fitting that MO again. I mean, a bad loss is an 8-point home favorite against Buffalo. They had the bye week. Now they come out and blow a 17-0 halftime lead against a really bad team against Miami. You could say maybe they were looking ahead a little bit to this New England game. You know, it's hard to believe that in the third quarter you all of a sudden start looking ahead to the next week's game. But, you know, maybe there was something there because that was a big game on deck for them.
And, of course, Aaron Rodgers goes down, breaks his collarbone. You know, I'm hearing some people saying that he could be back in 8 weeks. We'll see. I wouldn't hold my breath there. But it's amazing how things have changed suddenly right now. Despite all the injuries that the Minnesota Vikings have, the Vikings are the refreshed division odds right now, Steve, are minus 110 to win that division. I don't think with Brett Hundley, the Packers can win a division. I just don't believe in it. You know, maybe Brett Hundley will prove me wrong, but I don't have a lot of confidence in the kid.
I mean, and Minnesota's got, you know, quarterback injuries as well, but Keenum is an NFL-quality starter in my book.
But where I'm going with this, you got the Detroit Lions at plus 375. You know, the Bears, all right, the Bears are a better team, definitely, but the Bears aren't going to be winning this division right now.
Correct.
You know, the Lions are a little beat up right now. They came out of the gate. Now they have a perfect time for the bye week to reset and come back here. And I believe with Brett Hundley, this thing could turn into a two-team race between the Lions and the Vikings. So at plus 375, I actually think there's a little value on the Lions to win the division.
Yeah, I don't disagree that that's probably some value there. But, yeah, what I was going to say was the reason the Vikings are a favorite is because the only other team that probably has a chance now is Detroit. And as you know, Gabe, I'm not a big believer in the Lions, and I thought they were exposed yesterday when they gave up over 50 in New Orleans. We'll see if they fix their problems with the bye week. They have a tough game on deck. They have a Monday night, or actually, no, the Sunday nighter at home against the Steelers the following week after this bye. So we'll once again see if they're for real or not against a quality opponent.
All right, so the underdogs has been the theme, man. All these big money line dogs and point spread covers. Out of all the big spreads yesterday, who was the only team that covered? Houston, right?
Yeah, and Houston, you know, went from being the worst offensive team in the league to the best all of a sudden with their rookie quarterback.
and now suddenly the team that kid used to be on is losing at Syracuse. That's the way it works.
Clemson's, what was Clemson's over-under win, like 9 this year? They were supposed to lose 3 games, and when
it's
they beat
true.
Louisville, beat yeah. Auburn, and beat Virginia Tech, it sure didn't look like that was going to happen.
And their schedule is pretty soft from here on out as well. They're going to get back on track. I wouldn't be surprised if they only have one loss. But you know what would be interesting, Steve? Right now, Georgia, if Georgia runs the table and loses in the SEC championship game, they're going to get in. If they're, you know, if Georgia's a 12-1 team with that loss, they're going to get in, Steve. So that wouldn't surprise me right now, but it's pretty interesting because, you know, first Oklahoma loses, and then it's like, wow, they're in a lot of trouble. But then, boom, one after another, all these other teams lose. There's still a lot of college football left to be played. I wouldn't get too ahead of ourselves with that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, if Georgia's only loss comes against Alabama, the best team in the country, they should definitely get in over any other one-loss team, especially Oklahoma, who lost as a 30-point favorite if that's their only one.
Exactly. So, you know what? I think Georgia, the ramifications, and the people in Philadelphia are pretty happy now. The Philadelphia Eagles are now favored to win the NFC.
Plus 375. That's crazy. I'm not buying that.
No, I know. It's a little early for that, is it? They're plus 375. The second choice was the Seattle Seahawks. So who's the front runner now in the NFC then?
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I mean, it's a terrible conference right now. If you look, I mean, I still think Dallas has as much talent as anybody. They're not playing well. But, yeah, you could probably find some value right now with an underdog price.
I think Dallas is 8-1.
Or even the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers just lost to the Eagles, but Cam Newton was terrible, and that game was still only a 5-point game. I still think Carolina's probably a better team than Philadelphia, to be honest.
All right, so tonight's football game, we've got the Colts and the Titans. And we've had all these upsets this week. We should note, man, the dominance of the Indianapolis Colts over this Titans team is unbelievable. They've won 11 straight football games. 11 straight games. I remember actually losing this game last year, and I took I was on Tennessee. It was a high-scoring football game, and I would expect this game to be a high-scoring game too. I'm surprised the total. I saw 48 this morning. Now I see 47s. I'm surprised the number came down because, to me, this is a stone-cold over tonight.
Well, it's hard to play the under in NFL games in general, and as you and I know, it's hard to play the under in these primetime games as well because the scoring, I mean, the modern NFL just favors
you're
the
exactly
offense.
Exactly right. Yeah, and, Steve, not to mention these two teams, they give up, they're the worst defenses in the NFL as far as points allowed are concerned. They're ranked 31st and 32nd.
Yeah, so I guess the concern, obviously, is the quarterback situation. I mean, Luck's been out pretty much all year, so that's nothing different for the Colts. But Mariota was questionable up until this weekend. He is listed as probable, but he has a hamstring injury. I don't think he's 100%, so that would be your concern there. But they still have a very good running game. I think, if anything, maybe some of the running back props for the Titans to the over could be worth a look tonight for that reason.
You know what, though, Steve? I'll tell you what. The Colts have shored things up against the run a little bit. I'm not saying they're great, but they're only giving up 115 yards a game on the ground now, which for them is an improvement. They're ranked 15th in the National Football League against the run. Tennessee's not very good against the run either, actually. That's something that we should bring up. I think the Marlon Mack prop is a nice one tonight. It's DeMarco Murray's 72.5, Steve. But he hasn't been lighting it up, DeMarco Murray. He really hasn't. It'll be interesting to see. It's a good point you raised as far as Mariota's concerned. Because let's say Mariota comes back and he can't go, or he's not close to 100%, then suddenly plus 7 is a gift with the Colts. I don't have a problem with Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett's playing good football at the quarterback position for the Colts.
Yeah, and the other thing is the Colts, like you said, they've actually been average against the run this year. Their pass defense has been terrible.
Exactly.
And if you look at the Titans, they've actually been much worse against the pass as well. They've played a very weak schedule of opposing passers. So their overall
numbers look decent. T.Y. Hilton's going to have a big night tonight. Exactly. There's a lot of dichotomies and weird matchup things here. One thing I will say about the Colts, I'm not saying their pass defense is much better now, but their best player, Vontae Davis, was out for the first few games, Steve, and they did get shredded. He's their best cornerback. That does make a difference.
Right. Plus, and Mariota's not a big passer to start with, and if he's injured, although it's two ways to look. If he has a hamstring injury, he might pass more tonight because he's a mobile quarterback normally.
Well, look, Steve, you got a 7-point favorite, and the quarterback prop is 217.5 yards only. And you have a 7-point favorite. That's a damn low number.
Yeah, this is a weird game, and you know, even teasing him down to minus one doesn't make you feel real safe because, like you said, the Colts have won 9 of the last 10 straight up in this series.
No, 11. 11 straight, I believe, Steve.
11 straight. Oh, against the point spread.
Yeah, yeah. Nine and one against the spread in the last
Which
10.
Obviously is not a factor here as an underdog. I mean, you could make an argument maybe. I mean, mathematically taking Indianapolis from plus 7 to plus 14 isn't a textbook teaser, but you are covering a lot of key numbers there.
Yeah, you are. You know, a little bit of comfort keeps that back door open. You know, I think you can make a case for the Colts on the money line in this football game. The way things have been going, and it's amazing. The winner of this football team game is going to be 3-3, which is insanity. They're going to be 3-3, and they're going to be tied for first place. So it might have a sort of a train wreck feel to it from an outside perspective, but going into this, you know, it's a first place showdown. It's for first place. I like the points. I like the over, Steve.
I mean, one thing to keep in mind about the Colts is they might be 2-3 straight up, but their two wins came by only 3 points at home against Cleveland and San Francisco. And they lost by, what was it, I think 37 at the Rams, and they lost by about 28 or so at Seattle. So they have definitely not stepped up in the two road games against decent opponents.
And they lost in overtime to Arizona. You know, the Seattle game, though, they were in that game. The wheels,
they were. I was just going to say, they were in that game outright at halftime, actually. So
yeah, they were
a little misleading.
The game was tied. I think they were ahead by 1 point with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And then it was just like, you know, it was an ambush. All right, so Astros and Yankees tonight. What do you think of this game?
Well, New York's been night and day at home and away. In fact, the only time so far in the playoffs that the home team hasn't won a game in a Yankee playoff game was Game 5 at Cleveland, which was obviously a huge game. But overall, you know, you count the wild card game as well. Home team is now, 7-1? How many? Yeah, they've played 8 games. So the home team is now 7-1 in the Yankees' 8 playoff games so far, including 2-0 already in this series.
Yeah, I don't trust the Yankees' full game. I think it's going to be a close game. All these games have been close right now. It's, you know, Houston on the road here. It's a different atmosphere and environment. They don't have one of the races on the hill. I think it's an advantage Yankees spot. I'm going to take a shot with the Yankees in the first 5 innings, Steve. So, you know, this way I can just hope they get off to a good start. And this way, if the game's tied even after 5, I can get in on the Yankees if I want to at that point in time. But I don't fully trust them. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston won this game. But close and then late. I'm going to go with the Yankees in the first 5 innings.
Yeah, one thing about these playoff games is the run lines are tough. You know, if you really have to either take the dog outright or play the favorite, and we saw that in Game 1. Houston had a 2-0 lead. They gave up a meaningless run in the ninth. Last night, I actually had the Cubs on the run line, and that game was 1-1 until the final pitch. So once again, the run line was a pretty good play last night. It's because baseball games are low scoring in the playoffs, as you know, Gabe, and this total, once again, in the 8.5 range, makes it very difficult to lay a run in the half. You know, you either take it or you play the favorite outright.
All right, check out Steve over at covers.com. He's one of the covers experts, and his site is prosportsinfo.com. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us, right? Howard Bender, we're going to send it to the Bay Area. I'm a big fan of Bender, and I'm a big fan of Braddock. Bender and Braddock coming up next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We've got some really interesting props for you guys a little bit later on coming up at the end of the show for tonight's Monday Night Football game that actually is a first-place showdown. Well, I should say the winner of tonight's football game will be tied for first place in the ultra, I'm being nice here, competitive AFC South. Houston seemed like the class of the division to me due to the stud quarterback that they have. Let's bring in Howard Bender right now. You can follow him on Twitter at RotoBuzz Guy, Vice President of Operations, Head of Content at Fantasy Alarm. And Fantasy Alarm's a great site, great shows. Host the Fantasy Alarm show on SiriusXM Monday to Friday, 4 to 6 Eastern. And co-host of Overtime with Lisa Ann Sunday nights from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m. No rest up for the wicked for Howard Bender. And he's even got time for little old us on Game Time Decisions. What's going on, Howard?
Not much, man. Not much. Yeah, I try to keep myself busy. It helps me, you know, forget about the rest of the world and all the crap that goes with that.
Yeah, better busy than dead. Better busy than
dead.
Well,
think about that.
Yeah, and the way I look at it, too, idol's time is a devil's time. Yeah, that's why I work all the time. Keeps me out of trouble. Not that I don't get in trouble on the air sometimes, but, you know, for the most part, keeps me out of trouble. Fantasy football chaos this year, man. It's almost like a weekly basis. Somebody that, you know, somebody that's a big-time fantasy player, somebody that is a top pick is going to get hurt. You know, David Johnson gets hurt. Odell Beckham gets hurt. Now Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. And, you know, I see all these articles out there in the fantasy world about how people, what do you do? Oh, poor me, I lost Aaron Rodgers. Whatever, man, he's a quarterback. Yeah, you know, like I said off the top of the program, I picked up Carson Wentz off of waivers a couple of days ago. You know, I'm not stating that anyone's going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers is, but to me, it has more impact if you're a Jordy Nelson owner or a Devontae Adams owner like I am. You know, when he went down, at first I was like, that sucks, because I had money on the Packers. And then it sort of hit me. I was like, man, I got Jordy Nelson in that league that I paid $300 to enter in. Then I'm like, I got Jordy Nelson and Michael Thomas on the same team. And then I just want to put my fist through my computer. What's the impact of this, Howard?
Well, I mean, obviously the impact is huge, but I mean, I'm in the same boat as you. Listen, quarterback position, definitely flush with talent. If you're sitting there and you're playing in a league of a single quarterback league with 12 teams or fewer, there's guys out there who are undoubtedly available. Somebody probably dropped Big Ben in your league. Yeah. Jacoby Brissett's been a nice surprise here. You know, even people are getting frustrated with Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. So you're going to have options. But, yeah, listen, you're right. I had, you know, shares of Davante Adams. And, listen, for DFS purposes, I have been on this amazing streak of picking tight ends out from my butt. And they're crushing it week in, week out. I was all over Martellus Bennett. This matchup for him was phenomenal against the Vikings. And then all of a sudden, Rodgers goes down and boom. So, yeah, listen, the impact is Jordy Nelson's going to have some trouble. Davante Adams will. The rest of that team, I think the best part about it really is that I think Aaron Jones is actually the guy who's going to get to fly now, because I think they're going to end up having to hand him the rock a whole lot more and kind of just phase Ty Montgomery into maybe some sort of just a pass-catching back on third downs, because – they're going to need to rely heavily on the running game here, because, I mean, anybody, we saw Brett Hundley, and aside from the fact that Brett Hundley looked like, you know, Morpheus from The Matrix, and that kind of gave me a little bit of hope in that first series afterwards. So for me, I'm kind of, you know, a little lukewarm on using Hundley moving forward.
You know, it's funny, because I remember 3 years ago, Brett Hundley at UCLA, I'm like, man, this guy's awesome. Look at the athlete. It's funny, like, our words then and then the reality now. The reality check. You know, you want to give the kid the benefit of the doubt, thrown in there, short notice, etc. We'll see what happens moving forward. I mean, ideally, he's got a favorable situation, right, against a Saint defense coming up right now. But that leads them into a track meet. And Mike McCarthy said something interesting to me, that he basically stated, well, we're going to have to adjust our game plan on a weekly basis. And he basically was saying kind of what Belichick does. Said, I don't think McCarthy's very, you know, great coach. But he said, you know, we're going to have to see what the other team's weakness is and attack on a weekly basis, essentially. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. You're going to have to hand the ball off to Aaron Jones 22 times a game now. And you're going to have to count on your defense right now. So it's a tough spot out of the gate that they're going to play the Saints, because the Saints are going to take that away and they're going to force Hundley to have to throw the football. But which leads us to maybe that doesn't kill us with Adams and Nelson, right?
No, I guess it doesn't really kill us. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing. The Saints defense, and we saw this yesterday with the game against Detroit, very opportunistic, can, you know, really kind of work that turnover to, you know, give away to take away ratio there. So, I don't really think that they've got that strong of a run defense there. I mean, granted, the Lions just abandoned the game. And Amir Abdullah, great in Nebraska, lousy in the NFL.
He's another one that we have to let go. Right? Like, you know, it's like the episode of The Simpsons when the pig's flying away. It's still good. It's still good. It's still good. It's like, it's not good anymore, man. It's gone, all right? That's the thing. Hey, even coming into this year, right? Oh, man, big things. You should see what he's doing in practice. And you have to let it go at some point in time. So what? Quickly with the Kaepernick stuff. Kaepernick, and it's not happening in Green Bay. McCarthy says, no, I got my guys. So good luck with that, dude. You got Hundley and you got Joe Callahan. Good luck with that.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, listen, nobody wants to bring that just that media circus into the locker room. It's bad enough you're going to spend the entire rest of your season answering questions about what happens with life after Aaron Rodgers here, but now you're going to throw Kaepernick into the mix. The fact that he's filed that suit now, the NFLPA is supposedly getting on board with that. They can't prove collusion. It's kind of fruitless there, and I think that all it's doing is really dragging the name of the NFL through the mud some more. And, I mean, listen, the NFL lives in the mud, so I don't really think that it's going to be that big of a besmirchment of the league. But, it's a crock. It's a total crock. I'm sorry that Colin Kaepernick can't accept the fact that he was good in Nevada and sucks at football in the NFL level. Maybe he should go and start over in the Canadian Football League. He doesn't have a national anthem to piss and moan about. And maybe, you know, maybe the Alouettes or the Argonauts can kind of give him a little leg up there and actually teach him how to be a quality quarterback and be able to see receivers downfield rather than focus through tunnel vision and say, well, if I can't hit my guy on the hot route, I'm just going to run and out of bounds or throw it away. I mean, that's the kind of quarterback he is. So I don't even think it deserves any more discussion than we just did right now.
A hot take from Howard Bender, fired up. And for the record, Trent Richardson's running people over in a CFL. He's looking good. All right.
That does not say good things about the CFL.
I know. I was thinking that, too. People are like, God, that league, what kind of joke of a league it is. All right, we only got about a minute here, so I'm not going to bury the kid. I'm not one of these losers that goes on Twitter and tweets at football players. Says, oh, you're killing me, man. But what I will say is I think a lot of us in the fantasy world elevated Michael Thomas a little bit too quickly. And I think Sean Payton and Drew Brees elevated him to a number one guy too quickly. He's a young, raw guy, and it's a lot better to look like a monster when Brandon Cooks is dealing with the number one guys in your face all day long. It goes back to the Alvin Harper days with Michael Irvin. I remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave Alvin Harper all this money, and he got there, and they're like, man, this guy's really not very good. It's like, wow, he was kind of always open because everyone else on the Cowboys. I'm not saying Michael Thomas is that guy, but I noticed earlier, Thomas is dealing with the number one guys, and they're double-teaming him at times. They shade him with safeties and stuff, and he really can't handle it. He hasn't topped 89 yards once. It's not just like an anomaly. He's really struggling, this kid.
No, he's definitely struggling. And, yeah, a lot of it has to do with the double teams, the shadow corners that are taking him on. Darius Slay played a great game yesterday. But, yeah, listen, that's really what it comes down to. Ted Ginn, he's not drawing coverage away. Maybe if they learn how to develop Brandon Coleman a little bit better, then maybe that has some potential. Because I think Brandon Coleman coming out of the slot is probably their best bet in order to, you know, pull some coverage away from Michael Thomas. But the problem is that they just don't have anybody over there who's going to pull coverage away. Everybody knows that Breeze's go-to guy right now is Michael Thomas. So if you take him out of the equation, well, you know what? I'll take my chances against guys like Ted Ginn. I have no faith in him. Big deal. He caught a touchdown yesterday. So what? It doesn't really do much for me, you know, overall. There's no consistency there. So we're going to deal with this with Thomas a lot coming up in the future.
I swear to God, if we got to get out of here. But if somebody said on Sunday morning, Adrian Peterson has 2 touchdowns and 134 yards, and the New Orleans Saints will score 52 points. Like, if you didn't see the game, and you're like, you're a Michael Thomas owner, you're like, they scored 52, no way. I'm thinking in my head, oh, God, 189 yards, 2-3 touchdowns. And then you look, I was looking at DraftKings, and I had power issues. We got hit with a tornado in Toronto yesterday, and it was stuck on 3 catches, 11 yards. I'm like, man, they must not be refreshing this, man. And I'm all like, because I'm like, no, man, they got 48 points. How?
I'm sitting there watching the game in its entirety like this.
Yeah, football. Hey, don't we have fun on Sundays? Thanks, Howard.
Hey, thanks, Gabe. Appreciate the time.
Howard Bender, I wish we had more time. Time fly by on this show. Coming up next, Jason Braddock.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenciar. We don't have a lot of time. This show just flew by today, but I appreciate everybody tuning in. Let's bring in Jason Braddock right now, co-host of the Bottom Line on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, Texas, Monday to Friday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, which means that's 4 to 7 Eastern. Let's talk some NFL football. Deshaun Watson continues to light up the National Football League, and the kid's got the number one QBR rating in the National Football League right now, Jason. One thing, and, you know, we've talked about this, and Bill O'Brien has now improved to 20-3 straight up in football games when he's listed as a favorite. This is the MO of this team. I'm not surprised they beat up on the Cleveland Browns. The question is, can the Houston Texans beat good teams? And the answer has been so far no this year. It'll be interesting to see as the season goes on, Jason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting time in Houston sports in general. Astros in the ALCS up 2-0 over the Yankees. Rockets kick off the NBA season tomorrow against the defending champion Golden State Warriors, now with Chris Paul and P.J. Tucker and Bob Mute here as well. And like you mentioned, they finally have their first franchise quarterback since Warren Moon, who coincidentally enough, Deshaun Watson wore his jersey into the stadium yesterday before hanging up another 33-some points on the Cleveland Browns. So the sky's the limit for this kid, and there's no team in the AFC that I don't believe this Texans team will be able to play against when it comes down to the end of the season and playoffs. This team is on the rise.
You know, it's interesting looking at the division right now. They it's plus money. What do you make of this division? We have this game tonight. Whoever wins this game tonight is going to be tied for first place. So it's a very competitive division. Andrew Luck's going to be coming back eventually. You know, the Jags can't win two games in a row right now. You know, so to me, really, you know, I look at the Titans and the Texans, the two best teams in this division. I think the Texans are, but what's the health situation of the Texans moving forward? I mean, you know, they got it done yesterday against Cleveland. Okay, everybody gets it done against Cleveland. What's the health situation looking like on the defensive side of the football moving forward right now?
Yeah, Kevin Johnson, you know, the Texans, they went and signed four players last week. So they took advantage of having a 2-3 record and moving up high in the waiver priority claim, which they got Marcus Williams, a corner they used to have, can also play safety. They added him in. He played some big minutes and played well against the Cleveland Browns. Like you said, it is the Cleveland Browns and Kevin Hogan, so can't put too much into that. But now Kevin Johnson, the former first-round pick, is coming back. They have the bye week this week before heading to Seattle. He's getting healthy. Jadeveon Clowney's playing well. And they've got plenty of talent at the linebacker position. They've also got Carlos Watkins, DJ Reader, Christian Covington, tons of defensive line guys that can play three technique, play one gap, whatever they need them to do, two gaps, anything, and they have that type of versatility. They drafted well, and Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith have proven since 2014 that when the team is struggling in the area, they can go fix that area, plug it, and that's what they did with Raheem Moore after the Miami and Atlanta blowouts a couple years ago. That big free agent signing, Raheem Moore, they cut him, signed Quentin Demps off the street free agent, and then they were on the path to 9-7 in the playoffs
again. You think they win a division?
As far as the AFC South, who they are,
you think they
Titans
win a division?
Defense and Dick LeBeau's outdated, so I don't think they'll be able to hang with the Jacksonville and the Texans this year.
So, yeah, they're plus 155 to win a division. You know, the Titans are a good football team. The public always loves the, you know, because they're a flashy, fantasy-laden team right now. I think the Titans could lose this football game tonight. It wouldn't shock me if the Colts beat them tonight. Do you think the Texans are the division winner?
I think it'll come down to the Texans and Jags. I think the Texans will win. Jaguars have a great defense, but when you start getting towards the games that really matter, you have to have a difference maker at the quarterbacks. The Texans finally have it. The Jags still don't.
Yeah, the thing with the Jags is, you know, that they're gonna beat their win total. It's 5.5 this year. I think they're going in the right direction. They need to get a quarterback. Yesterday it was the special teams that did them in, though, man. You know, there was a punt return, a punt block for a touchdown, and a kickoff return for a touchdown. That was the difference in a football game. So what's your prediction for tonight with the Colts and the Titans? Mariota's coming back. I think it's going to be a close, high-scoring football game. I guess there's a potential that the Titans blow them out, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Mariota can struggle a little bit coming back. I think Brissett will have some success. Like I said, I like the 7 points with the Colts. I think we got a close, high-scoring game.
Yeah, I'll take 30-19 Titans over the Colts. I think the Titans get it done. But like you said, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Colts somehow were able to pull off a win. But if how it stacks up on paper is the Titans should be able to win, and they should be able to cover as well as my expectations. And you mentioned Jacksonville. If they want to become a contender, everyone's saying the Packers need to go sign Colin Kaepernick and this team and that team. Why not take them out? Take out Blake Bortles, bring Kaepernick in and see if he can be the starter there. You're not asking much of your quarterback anyway. Might as well get some mobility out there. And we've always seen mobile quarterbacks add a plus rushing margin to talented backs. Leonard Fournette with Colin Kaepernick, that sounds like a team that could win the AFC South.
Yeah, I tell you what, with everything that happened yesterday, the timing couldn't be worse for Kaepernick to file a damn grievance. And I've been a Kaepernick supporter, but I don't agree with the grievance that he just filed. I don't think it's going to help him. Unfortunately, we're out of time already, but check Jason out. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central, 790 Sports Talk Houston. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the time.
Pleasure's mine, brother. Take care.
There's Jason Braddock. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got some interesting props for you.
quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, are we ready for some football? And we actually have playoff baseball on the board here this evening. Let's start off with the football game. I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts tonight, plus the 7 points. I like Jacoby Brissett, and I've been riding the Colts since Jacoby Brissett took over the quarterback position. I didn't take him against Seattle, but getting points in this spot, to me, these two teams are very, very similar, and they're kind of evenly matched, to be honest with you. Yeah, Mariota's coming back, but what are we going to be getting from Mariota? And what if Mariota gets hurt again? What is Mariota going to be able to scramble? Is he going to be stuck in the pocket? I think this is a high-scoring game. And oh, we should mention that the Colts have beaten the Titans 11 straight times. They're 9-1 against the spread in the last 10 against them as well. I'm going to go over the number. I'm going to tease this game with the Colts as well. A little sprinkle on the Colts on the money line. Jacoby Brissett, and this is insurance in case they're playing from behind. He's going to go over 229.5 passing yards. Marlon Mack can get more than 38.5 rushing yards on one run. Some defensive props. Logan Ryan, cornerback. This guy's got over 3.5 in like 3 games. Wesley Werder's a freaking tackling machine. Let's go over 7.5. Sprinkle on the long field goal over. And let's take the Yankees in the first 5 innings. May the winners be yours.